We're going to do a little different something this morning as far as a message. I'm not going to teach in Luke. I'm going to do a special message for dads. And, you know, you just never know. But when the Lord gives me that, then that's what we need to do. Let's see. I think I'm in the wrong place, so don't worry. Let's see what happens here. There we go. That should be it. Present danger. Let's see. There we go. Good. I want to thank Walter Schrimm. He did an outline that just sparked my imagination, and I took off with it to do this message. And let's just pray. Also, I want to make mention, if you want to get a copy of the CD and you'd like the slides, we're going to make the PowerPoint presentation available on another separate disc. So you can just ask Jeff for that, because he'll run some of those copies off too. And that goes for whoever's listening to this on a CD at a later time. You can just contact the church office and we'll have that for you. Okay, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that you have so much to instruct us. Lord, as men, as dads, Lord, we need all the help we can get. Lord, we need wisdom. We need guidance from you. And so, Lord, as we come to learn from you, to study your word, Lord, to read these scriptures, Lord, to ponder your great love and your wisdom for us, we ask, Lord, that you would teach us this morning. Lord, we don't ask only for teaching. We also desire transformation. Lord, that you would change us. Change our hearts, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when Jesus taught the multitudes, he often used objects to illustrate spiritual truths, simple, ordinary objects. They help us to understand better. He used things like fish and nets. He used a boat. He used shepherds and sheep and trees. Rocks. I mean, he just used ordinary objects to teach us spiritual things. And today we're going to look at an ordinary object and use it to help us to understand how to be godly men. Now, I'm going to be speaking particularly to the men, to the dads, to the fathers here. If you're a single man, this relates to you as well. But also, all of us can learn, male or female alike. But I'm going to focus this message on men and on fathers. And because of that, we're going to use an object we all love, men, and that is duct tape. Amen? You know, duct tape is to men what makeup is to women. Because women will use makeup to fix just about anything. And that's what us men do. Amen? It helps us fix just about anything. Now, my dad was a real handy guy. I mean, he could fix just about anything without duct tape, okay? And there are a few men like that. But there are a lot of men that they're just not so handy. So praise God for duct tape, because it comes in handy for the not so handy man. It's the fix-all. So it's the handy fix-all for the handy man and for the not so handy man. Amen? Duct tape. And, you know, men are just ingenious by nature. You give us a problem and we want to try to solve it. It's like a challenge for us. So we end up at the park, say, with our family, and we're going to barbecue chicken. We got the fire ring, we got the fire, we got the chicken. We forgot the grill at home. We will figure a way to solve that problem. We will find a way. Now, it's rumored, you know, the new iPad just came out. Some people in our church have one. It's rumored that Steve Jobs actually incorporated duct tape into the prototype of the first iPad. So, I mean, it's handy for a lot of things. The wife gets in a little accident, a little fender bender. No problem, honey. I can fix the car and the headlights. I'll take care of it, right? Christmas comes along and you run out of scotch tape. What do you use? Duct tape. And you know, the chair gets ripped and you go, okay, what are we going to do? No problem, I can fix the chair. we got a problem with the sofa. No problem. I'll fix the whole sofa. I'll take care of that. We got plumbing problems. We don't need no stinking plumber. We got duct tape. Amen. You come to family camp. Here we are. We've got ice cream. We've got chili, whatever. You need a spoon. You forgot your spoon. Don't worry about it. We got duct tape. We can fix problems with duct tape. Now, mom wants to get away during the World Cup games, and she wants to go out shopping with her friends. She says to dad, will you babysit the toddler? He says, no problem. I'll take care of the toddler today for you, sweetheart, right? Our fascination with duct tape really begins, I'm convinced, as a small child, especially for boys. Brent has used my duct tape, all of my duct tape, continually. If I want it, I don't look in the garage. I look in his room. For years, he's used it. He started making wallets. They were a little crude. He got better with time, and he could make a wallet similar to that. Very, very handy. I wanted to use the duct tape with Brent as well, many times. He even used it to fix his shoes. What's amazing, he fixed a lot of shoes like this. What's amazing is just last year, the shoe manufacturers decided, hey, we can capitalize on this. We can work with this. We can make some money off of this. Now, duct tape has an interesting history as I researched this. Duct tape started out, it was developed during World War II for a specific purpose. The military needed something tough, something waterproof that would be an adhesive tape to seal their ammunition cases and different containers. Originally, it came in a drab, olive type color. And according to undocumented traditions, the military kind of christened the name duct tape because we're not sure, it could be that kind of water runs off it like a duck's back, or that cotton little cloth ducting that it makes the tape so strong reminded them of the duck's cloth and foam base. So we're not really sure, but it gained popularity among the soldiers because they started finding out duct tape can solve a lot of their problems. It can fix some boots. It can mend tents. You know, it can strap equipment to Jeeps when you don't have the right bungee cords for the job. So duct tape came in handy, and after the war, duct tape continued to be something that was very useful. And so they found that it was very useful in sealing joints and ducting for air conditioning systems. And thus, the color changed from GI green to the color we all know and love, silver. And it was renamed from duct tape to duct tape with a T. But many people, they still call it duct tape. And that's okay, I guess. Now, astronauts actually used this during an emergency in the Apollo 13, according to my research, and they mended an improvised life-saving carbon dioxide filter. It is standard equipment, I'm told, on the space shuttle and even on the International Space Station. That's how handy and universal this is. According to the Manco website, mechanics once used duct tape to temporarily patch a small hole in a windshield of a passenger jet, believe it or not. You know, can you imagine trying to actually fix an airplane with duct tape? Ain't gonna happen. Well, you know, given enough duct tape and it may fly. But let's look at some lessons that we can learn as men, as dads, from duct tape. The first lesson we learn from duct tape is we need to stick tight to Jesus. Duct tape teaches us to stick tight to Jesus. Jesus told us this in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. He said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So the main purpose of duct tape is to adhere to those things which are important for it to stick to. And you know what? We as men, we need to adhere to Jesus. Our main purpose is to stick close to Jesus. Amen? That's what you and I have been designed to do. Jesus says, if you don't stick close to me, apart from me, you can do nothing. We're designed to abide in him. We're designed to stick close to Jesus, our very best friend. Now, I just went to, a couple of weeks ago to a pastor's conference with my best buddy, Pastor Neil. Some of you know him because we do men's retreats together. And Pastor Neil and I, when we go to the conferences, we hang around, okay? We stick together. We're like duct taped together. We're buddies. We love to be together. Guess what? We request a room together, and people know when they see Neil, I'm not far, you know, away. And when they see me, it's like, where's Neil? Okay, we're right there. We sit together. We save seats together. We get up in the morning. We go pray walk together. We have coffee together. We go to the seminars together, the teachings together. We even take the same break oftentimes and prepare our sermons for Sunday because we got to come back and do a message, and we'll do that kind of at the same time together. We just love to hang out together because why? We're best friends, and Jesus wants to be your best friend. He wants to stick close to you. He wants to hang out with you, and he wants you to hang out with him. Amen? Now, speaking of best friends, you know, friends kind of do things together and stick together. I like this slide of this creative use of duct tape. Can you imagine? You're wondering, what am I going to wear? Where am I going to get dressed for the prom? No problem. Duct tape. Well, wait a minute. There is a problem. What's the guy going to wear? There's her knight in shining armor. Amen? So the first thing is we stick tight to Jesus. Duct tape teaches us the important lesson of sticking tight to Jesus. The second thing we learn from duct tape that applies to us in our spiritual lives as men is to be strong and flexible. Be strong and flexible. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we as men, we're the spiritual covering for our family, aren't we? We're called to do battle for our wife and for our children. So when God tells us to be strong, to stand against the attacks or the wiles of the devil, we as men have a greater responsibility because we're called to that position of being that spiritual warrior as the spiritual leader of the family. We're the ones that need to stand strong in prayer and in the power of the Lord, to stand strong in faith, believing God. One important quality of duct tape is that it's strong. It is strong. Do your wife and your children, do they see you as a strong man of God, a man of strength? Or do you have the strength of actually self-control? You know, that takes strength, inner strength. I'm not talking about how much you can bench press, guys. I'm talking about the strength of character that says, I can control my emotions. When I get stressed and angry, what do? Do I take it out on them? Or do I have healthy ways to vent those emotions? That's what it means to be a strong man, to protect your wife, your family, not to do harm to those you love. Amen? Men actually have a profound and very high privilege of bringing and imparting power to your family, to your wife, to your kids. It's an amazing thing. And that privilege of power has the strength to either harm or to heal your family, to comfort them or to control them. I like what I read on Jeanette Dixon's Facebook this morning. I don't know where she got it. I'd like to find out where, if she wrote it or whether it was attributed to somebody, but it doesn't have any, it's anonymous. It says, anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a daddy. A dad holds your hand. Makes sure you do what your mother says. Holds back your hair when you're sick. Brushes that hair when it is tangled because mother is too busy. lets you eat ice cream before breakfast, but only when mother is away. And a dad, well, he's the one that holds your hand and walks you down the aisle, tells you everything's going to be okay. See, that's the power that dads bring to a family and can bring to their wife and their children. The power is a privilege. Amen? So we have powerful things that we bring in many ways that we don't really understand the significance of. One is the power of just your presence. Just your presence there. Now, I think it's important just for dad to be home. Okay, that's one. But also, if you're home and you're just always in front of a screen, that's not going to be helpful. You need to really be there for your family at times, too. I know we all got work to do at computers and in front of TVs. We want to relax a little bit. But being present and being there for our family, amen, the power of presence. The power of perseverance. Dads have an ability to encourage our kids to excel, to be the best that they can be. We're given that power of influence, of perseverance to our family. The power of permission is a powerful thing that God has given to men, to fathers. The power of permission. And I know this is something Laura and I kind of go through and have gone through over the years with all three of our boys. And that is the permission just to grow up. You know, mom wants to keep those little children and coddle them and kind of keep them back a little bit and protect them. And dad's the one that says, you know what, son, young lady, you have permission to grow up. And that's an important blessing that we as men impart to our families. The power of perception. Men, dads, you're the one that's going to show and demonstrate to your children, what does a man of God really look like? What's a man to look like? What's a father to look like? What's a husband to look like? That's the power of perception that a man has the privilege of presenting to his family. Not just to his young men, but also to his young daughters too, because those young women need to know, what does a man look like, so I know what to look for in a husband, amen? And so we as fathers, as men, we are presented with the privilege of a power of perception to our family. And lastly, the power of pointing. The power of pointing. I think it's much more incumbent on us as men that we are to be pointing our family to Christ. We're to be leading them and directing them to Christ. That doesn't mean that we're the only ones that teach and encourage our kids in the Lord. Certainly our wives have a great role of that. But we as men need to be the initiator to at least direct the family and point. And the wife may do a lot of the work there, but we as the men, we have to be the spearhead that points the way and the direction for our family to go. Amen? So we're to be men of strength. Duct tape is strong. Another quality of duct tape is that it's flexible, okay? You can use duct tape for a lot of reasons, and one thing is that it's not just strong, but it's flexible. It has give and take qualities to it. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25 says, "The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth." So when we look at Jesus, he was a very strong man, but he was also a flexible man. You think about it. He's on his way in this direction. All of a sudden, he gets interrupted by a woman who has this issue of blood. A woman who has an issue of blood is getting in my way. Her needs are hindering my day, my plans. But he was flexible enough to just stop everything, stop the crowds, and address her needs and minister to her specifically. Jairus' daughter was another one. He came and he interrupted the master. Why? Because his daughter was sick. And then we know she died. But Jesus didn't just speak the word and heal her. He wanted to go to his house, come and touch her, saying to you, "Daughter, I say unto you, arise." Even in a story about, remember the demoniac of Gadara and the demons that were in the demoniac, I find it very interesting that the demons requested, if you're going to send us out, we at least let us go into that herd of swine. And Jesus, flexible enough, said, you know, I had another idea, like the pit for you, but okay, go on. And he sends them in there. It's interesting to see that Jesus, although he was very much in control, a man of strength and power, he was very flexible as well. Another thing is duct tape comes in multiple colors, many different colors. You can make a lot of things because of that. But the variety of colors that duct tape comes in reminds us of something. It's important for us men to remember, and especially as we have our children, because they're all different. They're like different colors. But even then, people are all different colors, aren't they? And we've got to minister to different people in different ways and approach them uniquely according to how they're made and according to their needs. And one of the stories I love about Jesus is when the rich young ruler approaches him. And of course, Jesus right away comes to him in a language that he understands, and he talks about the law and the commandments. What must I do to have eternal life? And so Jesus talks to him about righteousness according to the law and the commandments. And then Jesus looks uniquely into his heart, and it even says he loved him. Just pauses. By the way, he loved this man. There was something special about this man, unique about him, that Jesus loved him. And Jesus says to him, oh, one other thing that you lack, just one. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, Jesus didn't ask everyone who came to him with a question to follow him. And he didn't ask everyone to sell all that they have and give it to the poor. He uniquely saw the need of this man. He uniquely had a call on this man's life. And I always wonder, am I going to see this man in heaven? Did he ever kind of, after the fact, after Jesus died, did he connect with the church? How did God impact his life? What was the end of his story? We don't know, but we do know that Jesus approached him very uniquely as an individual, as he did so many, many times. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 says, in verse 31 and 32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So, are we men of kindness, of forgiveness? Are we tender-hearted? You know, that's what it means to be a man of strength, a man of flexibility, a man that approaches people as individuals, that we're flexible enough not only to know the wisest thing to do, but also to put that into practice, to actually do that wise thing. Are we flexible and wise enough, strong enough, not only to know those wise things to do, but also to be able to discern between what is a major issue that we really need to focus on, what's a minor issue that doesn't need to be focused on that much. And it even means that we would be strong enough to humble ourselves and apologize when we're wrong. Because it takes a confident, strong, secure, and flexible man to admit when he's made a mistake. It really does, doesn't it? It takes someone strong and secure and confident to admit they've made a mistake, to love their family, their friends, with a true heart of love, and to exhibit kindness to others. The third thing we understand from duct tape that it teaches us about being a man of God is that it holds life and people together. Duct tape holds life and people together, and a godly man is to do that as well. I mean, we strap everything, all sorts of stuff together with duct tape, don't we? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 tells us what a godly leader is supposed to be. Their characteristics: one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. So Jesus was a man, as we look at him, he was a man who knew what to do in times of trouble. He knew how to hold life and people together, because it's in times of crisis, it's in times of trouble, that people in life kind of gets out of control, don't they? But Jesus had the ability to hold life and people together. You remember when they were out in the wilderness and they ran out of food. They didn't know where they were going to get any food to eat. They had this big problem, didn't they? And Jesus held them together, and he helped them to understand that God was there present and God was going to do a miracle. And do you remember, what did Jesus do right before he broke the bread? He looked up to heaven and he blessed it. Oh, what was he doing to his disciples? He was pointing to them. When life starts falling apart, when you've got all these problems and you want the people to scatter and go find their own food, I'll tell you how you can bring it all together. You need to look up and thank God and ask his blessings to come and be upon your life, because that's what we need to do as men. Jesus was a man who looked to his heavenly Father for help. We need to be men that do the same thing. Jesus counted on God to help him and his disciples in times of needs. That's what we need to do. We need to count on God. We need to help our family to count on God as well. Jesus held people together. Why? Because he pointed them to God. He pointed people to God. He was always directing them to his Father in heaven, wasn't he? That he was there to meet their needs and help them. He taught us to have faith in this God, this Father that we have in heaven, to pray to him, our Father who art in heaven, to have faith and believe that he would provide us our daily bread, that he would meet our needs, that he would comfort our hearts. So in our lives, we as men are called to hold things and people together. And that's what duct tape reminds us of. It holds a lot of things and people together. I mean, I think we've all had the opportunity of seeing something like this, haven't we? And just, you know, what are we going to do with this hole? Well, we just cover it up with duct tape. In fact, you can put a lot of things back together. You know, you mess up the back fender of your car, no problem. We even got a color that matches that problem. In fact, we can hold the whole car together with duct tape. Forget about a new paint job. We can take care. Duct tape takes care of a whole lot of problems, just like a godly man. A godly man is one who's going to hold life together for his family, for his friends, when all of life is falling apart. When the wife comes home and says, I just lost my job. I don't know what we're going to do. The man comes and he holds life together when everything's falling apart. When all of a sudden we're faced with a major health crisis, that man is there to pull and hold life together and surround it with those arms of strength and comfort when life is falling apart. He needs to pull people together and focus them on God. That's what we need to do. And you know, you don't have to be that spiritual. You don't have to know a lot of Bible verses for that. You don't have to be a guy that's been a Christian for more than about, I'd say, 2 days to just say, you know what? We're just going to go to God and pray. Let's believe God to meet this need. Let's look to God. He's going to help us. How hard is that? You don't have to be real spiritual guys to do those things. It just means you're pulling people together and pointing them up. You're saying, hey, let's look up. It's like Jesus when he ascended in front of his disciples. They were all looking up. That's what we need to do. We need to keep looking up. Do you remember when Jesus went away with his disciples and then he got news that John the Baptist, his dearest friend, his cousin, had died and been beheaded by Herod? And so he told the disciples, he says, you guys go on across the Sea of Galilee and I'll catch up with you. I want some alone time, just me and my Father. And he went up to a mountain and prayed. And then it says at the fourth watch, when it was far into the evening, and they had toiled and toiled trying to get across the Sea of Galilee. We're only talking about 6 or 7 miles by boat. But the wind and the sea, and they were afraid because of the storm that was out there on the water. And then Jesus came, remember, walking on the water to them. And Peter said, hey, Lord, if it's you, would you just tell me to come out? And of course, Jesus said, come on out. Let's go for a swim. So, no, he didn't say that, but that's what ended up happening, right? Well, what happened was the disciples were out there in the boat and they thought they were all alone. But we know that Jesus was up on that mountain watching them toil. It tells us that he saw them. He knew their problem. And there's times when we feel like that. We feel like the disciples. We're out in the ocean and life is just coming over and we're going to drown. This boat is going to capsize. We're getting nowhere. Does God even know what's going on here? Does anybody see up there? Yeah. Even though we don't feel like it, we don't sense it, we know by faith and by the example of scriptures that he does. Jesus is there to hold our lives together when everything's falling apart. And we as men, we're called to do the same thing. We're that strong bond that ties life and people together when the circumstances of life are contrary to God's words and God's promises. That's why it's good to know promises like Joshua 1:9. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, what? Wherever you go. Wherever you go. So Jesus held life and people together, and we're called to do the same, to lead people in the way to go. So the fourth thing about duct tape that we can learn from is that we need to be real careful about what duct tape is exposed to. Yeah, it sticks real well and it's strong, it's flexible, and it holds life and things and people together. But you need to be careful what it's exposed to. And the same thing with us as men. We're not superhuman, are we? We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Because duct tape's going to break down over time when it's exposed to the wrong elements. There are certain things that will cause our lives to break down as well. If we expose our lives to the wrong elements, guys, our lives are going to kind of start to break down. We're going to lose the integrity, the fabric, the strength, the stick to our lives. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." So when we expose ourselves to the wrong things, we actually endanger a lot of things. We endanger our health. We endanger our integrity, our reputation, and our character when we expose our lives to the wrong things. It's going to affect our walk with Jesus when we expose our lives to the wrong things. Our relationship with our wife and with our kid, our relationship with God, is all affected when we expose ourselves to the wrong elements of life. I think every one of us know what I'm talking about. Paul gave Timothy some good advice in 2 Timothy 2:22. He said, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call upon the Lord with a pure heart." Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Amen? I love Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. It tells us to keep our lives pure from sin. It says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Amen. The fourth thing we learn from duct tape is that we need to be careful what we're exposed to, what we expose our life to. The fifth thing we learn from duct tape is not to think, so don't think that you are the permanent solution. Don't think you're the permanent solution. You know, we all love to use duct tape to fix things, don't we? But some things that we fix are really only a temporary fix. You can't just keep using this thing over and over again. That boat isn't going to float forever. Eventually, we need to find the correct and permanent solution to our problems, don't we? As godly men, leaders, and fathers and husbands, we're not expected, nor are we even supposed to fix everything, okay? We're only expected to help people to know the one who can fix all of those problems, that is the permanent solution to the problems. You know, John the Baptist had a real important ministry. What was his ministry? Pointing. He always was pointing to Jesus. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. And I think that's an important spiritual truth for us, for our families and our friends, the people we lead. I want to see my kids increase in their faith, their trust, their knowledge of God, and decrease in their faith and trust and knowledge of me. Because I'm getting older and weaker. And you know what? One day I'm not going to be here. But he is stronger. And he will always be here with them. He will never leave them, never forsake them. Amen? As men, you know, we always want to fix things. We even want to fix people, don't we? And we think, you know, just like duct tape, we can fix anything with duct tape. Well, anything that's worth anything. If it's not worth fixing, we're not going to fix it. It kind of reminds me of the guy who even thought that he could fix his marriage with duct tape. Imagine. Now, I know what he probably had in mind. Something like this. Unfortunately, I don't think that's what his wife had in mind at all. And I think she did something like this. So we need to remember that we don't have, as men, we don't have all the answers, do we? We can't solve all the problems. I love Ephesians 2:10. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in. We're all his workmanship. You're his workmanship. I'm his workmanship. I can't fix everybody's problems. I can help you. I can guide you. I can coach you. And I can certainly point you to Jesus and into his word. But you know what? The bottom line is, you're God's problem. I'm God's problem. He's working on each one of us. He's getting his hands dirty with our lives. He's the potter that's shaping the clay of our souls. He's working on us individually and uniquely. Amen? And as a father, you want to try to fix all your kids' problems. As a husband, you want to try to fix all your wife's problems. She kind of wants to fix all your problems too. We want to fix each other, don't we? But we can't do it. We can't fix a lot of things about each other. Only God can do that. And it's really because we're his workmanship. And I think marriage teaches that more than anything else. Focus on the Family had an article just this week. It was entitled, When Expectations Meet Reality. It started out this way. Before Cynthia said her marriage vows, she joked with her mother that she could leave out the phrase, for better or for worse. She was confident there wouldn't be any worse. Sam, he was the perfect man for her. He was emotionally attentive, a dynamo at fixing things around the house, ambitious, funny, and caring. He even laughed at her jokes. Now, 5 years into the marriage, Sam is emotionally distant and says he doesn't have the energy to help with anything around the house, let alone chat with his wife about how she feels. Cynthia sometimes jokes that aliens snuck into her home while Sam was sleeping, took out his brain and replaced it with someone else's. He's not the man I married, she quips. However, it's no laughing matter because her heart, it's breaking. And so, you know, you think about it, so many people have placed expectations on one another and place expectations on us as husbands, as men, to live up to. And tragically, we fall short, don't we? Yeah, we are very human. Every man, every father, every husband will disappoint. We all do. Do you remember when Jesus talked with the woman at the well of Samaria in John chapter 4? He said this to her. He said, you know, whoever drinks of this water, they're going to thirst again. You're going to be disappointed because that water isn't going to supply your thirst. And then he goes on, he says, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he'll never thirst. But the water that I shall give will become like a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, Jesus knew that some things in life provide only a temporary fix. Eventually, you have got to get to the master mechanic. Amen. They're not designed to do what only God can do. We can't fix what only God can fix. We're not the one who has all the answers. We're not the one that's equipped with all the power. So we can just relax, knowing that our job is just simply to bring others to Jesus. Our job is simply to bring them to that fountain of living water so that they can drink and never thirst again. Amen? Now, in conclusion, you know, there are some things the duct tape can fix, but there are many other things that we wouldn't want to use duct tape for at all. Some people literally think you can fix the world with duct tape. But God tells us there is only one who can truly solve the problems of our world. Amen? I love Colossians 1:17. It says this, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." The New Living Translation says that he holds all of creation together. That's our God. Jesus holds everything together, down to the smallest atom, as great as the biggest galaxy. That's the one we need to point our lives to and the lives of others. Amen? Now, I'd like just the men to stand up. Just the men. We're going to just take a time of prayer before the Lord, and Stephanie's going to sing a song for us while we pray. And guys, what I want us to do is just ask the Lord, what is there in our lives? Just particularly one thing. Focus on one thing. What is the one thing you say, Lord, if you could take anything, I need you to take this out of my life. I don't want it there anymore. It may be anger. It may be pride. Could be unforgiveness. Could be spiritual apathy. You say, oh Lord, take that out of my life. It could be procrastination. Or it could be laziness. It could be sexual impurity. And even lust. What's that one thing? Lord, take that away from me. Give that to the Lord right now.
There in my breathing, God in my waking, God in my sleeping, God in my resting, there in my working, God in my thinking, God in my speaking. Be my everything, be my everything. Be my everything, 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 be my everything.
Ask God to give you one thing that you lack, that you say, oh Lord, I am so short in this one thing. I have a short supply of kindness, could be humility, joy, patience, love, tenderness, goodness.
God in my hurting, God in my healing. Be my everything. Be my everything.